Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Start recording. Okay, in 20 seconds. Oh, they have it on their website. Okay, barely. But yeah, it's on their website. In 20 seconds, I'm going to put a number on screen. If you're inside the United States, you need to call the phone number on screen and then type in the meeting ID. If you're outside of the United States right now, you need to open your Zoom app and then you need to type in the meeting ID that's going to pop up and join via Zoom. Okay, so in the United States, call the phone number. Outside the United States, join via Zoom. And then please, when I take your call, be attentive. I know sometimes the wait is long. We don't get to everybody all the time. I apologize if one person, but yeah, be attentive to the call. Mute me in the background and that'll be really, really good. All right. Oh man, I'm gonna sneeze. Okay, are you guys ready? Type one if you're ready. Yeah, we'll do some moderators later in the next few streams. We'll make people mods, okay? Someone said mod meeting, Isaiah. Yeah, we can have a moderator meeting as well. I don't know what's going on, but you guys can fill me in. Okay, is everybody ready? Here we go. Let's talk supernatural. Let's jump into this. The lines are open shortly. Hurry. It's open. There's the phone number, 1-669-900-9128. I'll try not to talk because it distracts you guys. And there's the meeting ID. And I'm going to hold my finger on the lock button once I let, you know, 7 or 8 people in. Here we go. And guys, remember, I'm not kicking anyone out of the calls. So if you get kicked out, it's on Zoom, not me. Don't get mad at me. It's your server. It's the Zoom. It's your phone. I don't know. But I don't kick people out, just for those of you that think you get kicked out sometimes. All right, we're going to wait for some phone callers in, and then we're locking the meeting. This is episode 74. Yeah, somebody just dropped out right now. Okay. All right, here we go. Okay, we're locking it. Lines are closed. That means that no one can call for now, and we'll reopen it if we get through these people, or if these people drop out. Some people in the waiting room, they have stuff they have to do, and they randomly drop out, stuff like that. So we'll see, okay? I'm too shy to call. Oh, it's all good. Just, guys, when you call me and I talk, just pretend you're like talking to your brother, your cousin, or your neighbor, or your yard guy. I don't know. Just pretend that it's somebody normal. I'm a normal person. Actually, my socks are always mismatched usually. So I'm just completely normal. Okay, let's take our first caller. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
My name is Yvette Robles, and I'm calling from Arizona.
Hi, Eva. How are you? Can you hear me? Oh, I think you have to mute me in the background. Hello. Did we lose her?
No, I'm here. I'm muting you right now.
Oh, there you are. Okay, you're good.
Okay, 1 second.
You're good. No worries. You're the first caller. Sorry, it kind of went quick.
Okay, so I have a question.
Okay, hold on. Before you ask me a question, I have a question for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you going to Without Walls Church on April 21st if you're in Arizona?
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Okay, I had to ask you that. You know, everyone in the chat says you're in Arizona, so, you know, we had to ask you. But go ahead. I'm sorry. You can ask your question now.
Yes, me, my husband, and all 5 of my children will definitely be there.
Awesome.
Okay, so straight to the point. I was raised in church and gave my life to the Lord, not wholeheartedly, obviously. And then in 2018, I did that again, and I found the Lord, because He doesn't lose us, right? And kind of a weird story, but I used to do network marketing, and so they're really big on, like, manifestation and all these different things, and meditation, totally not biblical meditation. But there was a time that I was meditating, like last year sometime, and I was laying in my bed, and Bob Proctor is really big in that world, and he died last year actually. But anyways, long story short, I was doing this meditation where I had to be like, you go outside of your body into your body, like on the inside of your body. And like, He's walking you through the inside of your body, like the anatomy of your body. It's really crazy, actually. But meanwhile, I think I'm a Christian, right? Crazy. Now I get it. But so I'm doing this and I'm like, really, I can feel like all these crazy things because that realm, the spiritual realm is real, like very real, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'm in there and I'm walking through my legs and in my mind, like during this meditation, I'm listening to Bob Proctor's voice. I like my mind, even though I'm listening to his voice, like something in my mind tells me something's going to like, meanwhile, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. Everybody in my house is sleeping and something in my mind is like, this is about to break. Like this is going to be disturbed by something like right now. And immediately, it's so crazy. So immediately I hear something shatter downstairs in my kitchen and I'm like, Oh my God, what was that? And so like, I jump up out of my meditation, I run downstairs, and usually my kids only clean the kitchen, but that night I cleaned it with them. And so like the bowl that busted out of this thing and shattered on my floor, like I put it away. You know, if my kids may have did it alone, I would have thought, well, maybe they didn't put it right or they shoved it in there or something like that. But that wasn't the case. So I'm like, I woke up my husband and I'm like, babe, somebody's downstairs. And so he gets his shotgun and runs downstairs and he's like in his boxers and everything. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so anyways, that happened. And I'm here, like I said, thinking I'm a Christian. You know, this network marketing company led me back to finding my faith again. And so anyways, long story short, Angela Uchi, I found her video on one of my uplines in the old company. And I'm like, I listened to her videos. I'm like, God, I hear you. Like, I get it. I'm doing all these things wrong. And like, so anyways, it led to me just being completely on fire for the Lord. But I wanted to ask you, like, what would you, I've always wondered, like, God, was that you? Like, did you break that? Like, did you get my attention to that? Or what do you think? Like, I never had an answer. And so yeah. I was just wondering what your perception would be on that.
You know, it's a really good question. A lot of these spiritual experiences, there's not like a right or wrong question to them all the time. I will say when it comes to network marketing, the very popular people, like who's that one guy? Is it Tony Robbins, who's super popular? I've recently found out about him. He does network marketing, right? Like that type of motivational network marketing, finances. Okay, so that whole world. Yeah. So I know somebody that worked for him, was one of his top salespeople, top marketers. And let's just say she told me she doesn't work for him anymore, but it is all new age. It's all witchcraft. It's all demonic. Here's the problem though, with a lot of this new age stuff that like Tony Robbins and all these people are doing with the network marketing is they mix Christianity in with it. So they're like, yeah, it's Christian. And he'll say like, you know, I've heard him on podcasts like, oh, I'm a Christian. I believe in God, but what they teach and what they practice is complete new age spirituality with the manifestation, with the meditation, with the astral projection. They literally teach people how to astral project and people like don't realize it. Like come out of your body. Hey, if you're coming out of your body, if your spirit's coming out of your body, you're astral projecting. You're going to the spiritual realm. It's not biblical for you to force yourself out of your body. Now, there are times in scripture where God brought people out of their body, but the difference would be it was God initiating it and doing it, not people sitting there learning how to get their spirit or get themselves or get their mind out of their body. Because right when you start doing that stuff, you open yourself up to demonic attack. You open yourself up to demonic spirits, whether you do it innocently or not. So all of this manifestation, new age stuff is poison. It's toxic. It's like getting your favorite food and then putting a little bit of poison in it. It's like, well, it's just a little bit of poison. Yeah, but I'm not eating it because it's poison and it'll actually kill me spiritually. So that's really the problem with a lot of the network marketing is they claim to be Christian. Like you said, hey, I found my way back to God through some of it because again, some of it they add Christianity to. So people can find God, but you also find poison and new age and demons and all of that. For your encounter, it could have been God, you know, getting your attention, knocking it over. To me, from just what you're saying, it sounds like you open yourself up to demonic spirits with the whole meditation. And I think you said you were like going in your body or something like that. All of that is demonic, right? That's not God. That's not biblical. It's not scriptural. It's opening yourself up to new age spirits, new age spirituality. A lot of these are also Hindu practices and ancient practices. So they're not new age. They're actually old practices that have been brought back with the whole manifesting, and like you've probably seen where people are like screaming and laughing and light work and breathing exercises and techniques, literally breathing in demons, a lot of it is, and spirit and breath are the same word, which is a whole nother teaching. My point is, it might be that you let a demon in your house, or you let a demon into you, and then that demon went in the kitchen and knocked something down, and you were hearing the voice of that demon. But it also, I know I'm like, you're like, well, you're not answering my question. It also could have been God. If you feel like, man, it might have been God waking you up and sounding an alarm, it could have been. But to me, it sounds like it was a demonic spirit that was messing with you and trying to bring fear and doing stuff in your house. And I mean, the result of it was you're freaked out. Your husband's freaked out. You know, like you said, he has his shotgun. He's in his boxers in the kitchen with a shotgun. Like, to me, usually that is not a result of something like God does. It's usually like the enemy stirring up fear, stirring up confusion in your life, in your house, and probably because you were opening yourself up, not knowing, like you said, like, man, I thought I was fine, right? Like, I didn't even know it was wrong. And Angela always talks about that. People are like innocently doing the New Age. And it's not like you're trying to be evil. You just are doing it because that's what you're getting taught to do. But at the end of the day, it definitely is an open portal to demons to come into your house. But again, doesn't mean it was a demon. I just think from what you've told me, it probably was, but it could have been, like you said, it could have been something that God was doing to get your attention as well.
Right. Well, praise God, right? Because what the enemy uses for evil, God uses for good.
Absolutely. So. And a lot of people go down that road and they find God at the end of that road, right? Like, and I know people get mad when I say this, and it's people get all like, but the devil actually walked Jesus to the cross. So the devil was the one that brought Jesus to his greatest victory ever, which the devil thought would be a defeat. It was actually a victory. And sometimes the devil walks people to the cross. Like, it's sometimes in the depth of our depression, our anxiety, our suicide, our fear, our addiction. You hear people all the time say, I was so addicted and I came to church to try to find some relief. Well, what the devil meant for bad, actually, the devil actually walked them to the cross. In the same way he walked Jesus to the cross. So for you, it was like, yeah, the devil was doing all this stuff in your life, bringing this New Age trash, but he overplayed his hand. And now here you are on fire for God in church, serving God, praying on these streams. So yeah, God has a way of turning things around. When the devil thinks he has a winning hand, he puts it down and God's like, you know, I beat you every time. He just loses. So yeah, it's a beautiful story of redemption when the devil's moving in your life and then God shows up and is obviously way more powerful than the enemy.
Yeah, it is amazing. So I have one other question. I could totally call in again if you want to get to the next, but
no, go for it. I'll answer it quick.
Okay, I lost a son in 2006. To make a really long story short, 2 days before my son died, we lived in this like one bedroom apartment, and to get to my bed, which I made the living room my bedroom, I have to walk from the kitchen. Well, I turned off all the lights, walked to the bed. And as I'm walking to get into my bed, I actually seen a human hand come out from under my bed and try to grab me. Well, I jumped from the bottom of my bed to the top of my bed. And my grandma is a Christian at that time. And I asked her and she's like, oh, it was just death lurking, honey. But this was real. And I seen a real hand. And I even asked the neighbors before my son died the night before. So they probably thought we were crazy. Did anybody die in our apartment ever? And they're like, no, I think someone downstairs, but not in that one. Well, a few days later, my son died from SIDS. And so
wow.
What would you say about that?
I mean, yeah, that's an incredibly sad, sad, terrible situation, you know? Now she said it was a spirit of death. Is that what she said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely possible. I don't know to what extent do demons have power over taking the life of a human. To me, I don't believe they have a lot of power, because if that were the case, me and you would be dead right now, right? Demons know you, they know me, and they would absolutely do everything in their power to kill me. And they are doing everything in their power to kill me, but the problem is their power is extremely limited if I don't give them room in my life. So I don't know that a spirit in your house would have the ability to take your son's life. That's extremely tragic. You know, one day you're going to be reunited with him at the gates of heaven, which will be a beautiful day. And I'm sure every unanswered question will be answered on that day you stand before God. But I do believe demons have the ability to shapeshift and, you know, act like people and look like people, just like angels can become people. And the Bible says you might be entertaining angels and not even knowing it. I think fallen angels have to some extent that ability. I don't know to what extent, but to some extent. But I wouldn't connect that, man, that spirit of death, you know, killed my son, although it is tragic. I don't know. I don't know. It's a really, really interesting question, but I don't know that I have the answer for that. I don't really want to believe that a demon has the ability to take the life of our loved one. You know what I mean? But then again, yeah, it's like, no, hey, if we're not under God's protection, it's hard to say.
And I wasn't. I was totally in the world of the world, completely inside of the world. And so, but I don't believe that. And it's a blessing today because he is at the feet of Jesus and praising the Lord all day long. And that is the best place he can be. But thank you so much for taking my
call. Thank you so much for calling in. We'll see you in Arizona.
Have a good day. Okay,
all right,
bye.
Take care. Bye. Very, very tragic. I've had a few friends lose children over SIDS, the sudden infant death syndrome. And it's beyond tragic. There's no words to describe how horrific going through something like that is. I have a hard time believing that a demon can take the life of a child like that, but I could be wrong. You know, I don't ever speak in absolutes because I don't know fully in the spiritual realm and what power and authority demons have depending on what. And I'm learning and we all are growing and it's a lot of this stuff is a mystery. So we just keep going. We keep going. All right, let's take the next caller. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
Hi, sorry.
Oh, you cut out. Are you there?
On the thing.
Oh, no worries.
Oh my goodness. Sorry.
It's okay.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, how are you?
I have a dilemma.
What's going on? First of all, what's your name and where are you calling in from?
So my name's Grace. I'm calling in from San Bernardino.
Awesome. Grace. What's going on, Grace?
So I was for a while doing, you know, trying to do like TikTok videos and stuff, but really only biblically based. So I was doing prayers and just talking about Jesus, but you know, because of the type of platform it is, I got off completely.
What platform was this? I missed it. Sorry, your phone cut out.
I'm so sorry. It was on TikTok.
Oh, TikTok. Okay. You're doing like Christian TikTok.
Yeah. And it just was not like, it's just so easily, it's, you know, so easy to get distracted. So yeah. I just, you know, got off. But I did have a couple of people that I met, and one of them seemed like a really great person. Unfortunately, because of, I don't know, I guess just sin, right? We ended up kind of getting into topics that we really shouldn't have. But now I find myself like, I don't know, like, can you have, I guess my question is, can you have a soul tie even if you've never like actually met somebody in person?
Yeah, absolutely. You can have a soul tie. You know, a lot of people think, and it is a common way that soul ties happen through for the children that are watching, intimacy, okay, just to use the word, but we all know what I'm talking about. So a lot of people believe that's the only way that a soul tie can develop, but it's not. Soul ties can develop, or whatever you want to call it, a soul connection, a bond. There's a lot of different words for it. Can develop just from talking. You don't have to have met, but you can have an unhealthy relationship. And talking about adult topics, like you guys were talking about, can develop that type of soul bond, that soul relationship where you can't like stop thinking about them. Your emotions feel tied to them. So I would definitely say that you can develop that just from talking over the phone or talking online or having, you know, a very casual relationship. Then it becomes where you just can't break this. The emotions, the feelings, the desires towards the person increase, and you know, you just can't get rid of the thoughts.
So it feels like, cause this is like a very uncommon name, and I feel like everywhere I look, I'm seeing this person's name now, and it just like, and it's hard for me to like determine what exactly I should be doing, because sometimes I feel like I really need to pray for this person, but then other times I'm thinking about them and it's like, I really want to like, you know, go hang out with this person. And it's like, I don't understand how to distinguish the two.
Are you in a relationship with this person?
No.
And are you in a relationship with somebody else?
No.
Okay. So, are you, you're still friends with them though. It's not like you've cut them off completely.
I have tried.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. The bottom line is if you're still in communication with somebody, that desire, that longing, and that emotion probably isn't going to go away. Really, the only way to get, how do I say it nicely? And it's, I don't even know the person, so I'm not speaking against the person. I don't even know who they are. But to get delivered from somebody or to get set free from someone is to completely cut them off and out of your life and get disconnected from them. That's the only way. Because you know, I know, the moment you start talking to them, all those emotions come back. All those feelings come back. And your guys' relationship really was like bonded through talking about adult content, right? Like that's literally how the bond happened and how the connection happened. So to me, in my mind, the only way that you can get free, quote unquote, for lack of a better term, from this person is to completely cut them off. Like, hey, I'm going this way. You're going that way. We're not going to get married. We're not in a relationship. Like I can't, I'm stumbling, right? Like this relationship is causing me to stumble. And you have to really ask yourself this in life. Do you want to be around people and connected to people that make you stumble? Or do you want to be around people that push you to go grow closer to God? So like, I don't want to hang out with somebody that every time we hang out, they're tripping me. You know what I mean? Like me and them are walking in the park and they trip me. And then we're playing some game and they trip me. Like, why do I want to hang out with you? You keep tripping me. You keep hurting me. So that's kind of what happens when we build these relationships with people is they're actually a stumbling block. And I'm speaking spiritually before I was speaking physically, just to give you the analogy. They're actually a stumbling block to our faith. It's like, I want to surround myself with people that pull me closer to God. So me and my wife, like everybody probably knows, some of our really good friends, like our probably our best friends are Jared and Candace, right? They draw us closer to God. Jared challenges me to pray. He challenges me to be a better husband. He challenges me to be a better father. He challenges me to do Bible study with my kids, to pray with my wife, to do all these things. Like, I want to be around those people that draw me closer. I don't want any relationships in my life that are tripping me up. So if I have a friend that every time we hang out, it's sexual jokes, it's talking dirty, it's saying inappropriate things, it's pushing the line, like, you know what I mean? That line that we all know where the line is. I can't be around you. I can't be around you because I'm going this way. I'm trying to go closer to God. I want to know God closely and intimately and seriously. And you're just not. You're actually drawing me away from God and you're getting my mind on dirty things and you're getting my mind to wander and you're causing me to lust and things like that. You're stirring up lust in me. So for that, I would say you gotta delete the number. You gotta block the number. You gotta get rid of everything unless the person's drawing you closer to God. But I only see it as either they're drawing you closer or they're drawing you away. And for me, it sounds to me like they're drawing you away from God and causing you to be distracted and stumble in sin. And in that case, you just got to cut them off. You know, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. If your friends cause you to sin, cut them off. You know what I mean? And that, of course, I added that second part. That's not in the scripture. My point is, if God tells us to cut our arm off, that's way more drastic than cutting a friend off. That's way more dramatic than cutting a relationship off. So to me, I just am at a place, you know, where it's like, okay, I don't have any time to waste. I can't be around friends that are lukewarm. I can't be around friends that are complacent. I just got to go all the way in for God. And for you, I think you just need to draw that line in the sand and be like, hey, this is where I'm at and I'll pray for you type of thing. Because God can reach them. Sometimes you might think, oh, I'm the only one that can reach them and God's going to use me to save them. No, God can reach them. You can pray and God can send somebody else. We're not everyone's savior, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the reason that I've been kind of hesitating to just cut them off completely is because it started initially, like, it was really encouraging. Like, all we would talk about was God. It was like, it was really positive. And then I don't know. Don't give the devil a foothold, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like, and I think I just kind of like really hoping, I was really hopeful that it would go back to the type of, you know, conversations that we were having initially, but I don't see it happening. So
yeah, and especially right. If it's a good friend. Like, I know I'm going to give another hot take here that probably people don't agree with me. Usually if you're good friends with the opposite sex, there's other motives, right? It's like usually pretty rare that you can be good friends with the opposite sex and it not lead to a relationship or a marriage. So you have to be like, hey, is this going to be the person I want to marry? And if not, then this close relationship, where is it going? What is it doing? You know, I don't want to go into all that because that's a whole nother topic, but usually guys are not, and I'm telling you, are not just in it for, I just want to be friends with you. Usually it's to pursue something more. And if that's not the person you're going to marry, then God bless you. I got to move on, you know, type of thing.
Yeah. And I mean, after kind of crossing that line, it's so hard to go back because it's like, you know, I think initially it could have been like, hey, maybe we could have tried to pursue a relationship. Like, we have a lot in common, and I think this is what makes it so hard, is that at first I did feel really like, oh my goodness, this is, you know, somebody, like, this is a man of God, this is somebody who can lead me, like, this is somebody that I could build with. And then it just, yeah, so it's been hard to just cut it off completely. But
yeah, well, like, hey, listen, right? Give it to God, and if you cut them off and it's God's will, it'll get reconnected, and you guys will end up getting married. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's God's will, then it's going to work out. I don't think you should stress about that. I think right now you should just step away and say, hey, I just can't continue this relationship right now, and give it time and pray and fast and see what God does. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you. Jared, you missed your shout out, bro. I just gave you a shout out and said how good of friends you and Candace are to me and Alyssa. All right, let's take the next caller. A lot of people dropped out. I don't know if it's Zoom. I don't know if it's a phone or what, but if we get through these people, then we will reopen the lines. Generally, people go like 10 minutes minimum per question. So we get through like five or six, but what? I don't know. Who am I apologizing to? I don't know what you guys want me to say. Here we go. We're taking our next person on Zoom. Dee Dee, once you hear me, you can turn your audio.
I don't know.
There we go. How are you?
I don't know what you guys want.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is Dee Dee.
How are you?
From Vancouver, Canada. I'm okay.
Good. What's going on today?
So my question is, so like, I'm currently in the hospital. I got into a car accident. I had surgery.
No.
So my question is like, if you, like, have you ever had a case where you had like a promise from God and you're just in a situation where like nothing is like happening, or like things are just not working out, or maybe even like going in the opposite direction? Like, I guess in my case, like, do you have like a life example of that?
I mean, yeah, I've definitely had times where a promise God gives me takes 10 years to come to pass, or takes, you know, longer or sometimes shorter. I think the problem is, when God gives us a word, or maybe we get a prophetic word, or maybe God gives us a promise of healing or deliverance or salvation of a loved one or a promotion or an open door, whatever it is, he doesn't usually give us the exact timing or the exact day. And we think it should happen this time or this way. And if it doesn't, we think that the promise isn't going to come to pass. But sometimes there's waiting. Sometimes you wait 100 years for the promise. You know, sometimes you wait 5 years. Sometimes you wait 6 months. So the timing is not our timing. God's ways are not our ways. And for me, I would challenge you or anybody that's waiting on a promise is to continue to be patient, continue to persevere, and realize that my situation isn't going to dictate what God has spoken over my life or what God plans to do in my life. Because sometimes things get worse before they get better, you know, and things like I had a... This is years and years ago, and we were building, like, when the revival was at my house in 2011, revival breaks out, and we're building this metal barn, and I really felt like the Lord told us to build this big metal barn to have service in, because we were having service in my living room. And so we built this huge barn, spent all this time, all this money, people were donating all this, and we got to the very end, it was fully built, we were so excited, because we were in a living room with, like, hundreds of people at my house. Now we're going to be in this, like, metal barn on my property, and... The day, couple days before we were going to launch it, we had the video done. Like, we were ready to meet in there. The city basically said, hey, it's going to be like $100,000 a permit. And then after that, you have to do all this. It just wasn't going to work, right? So I remember being so frustrated, like, Lord, you promised me this. You told me that we were going to meet in this building. And you told me, like, I was telling God all the promises. And I felt like the Lord said, like, I didn't tell you that. I said you were going to meet in a bigger building. I didn't say it was going to be that building, right? So I thought, like, this was the building we're working on and building, but the whole time, like, the Lord was had something else. I thought it was that, though. So I was discouraged. I was frustrated. I was crying. I was all this, right? The next day, so that building probably seated, like, I don't know, maybe 300-400 people, which was way bigger than my house, which hundreds of people were outside trying to get into. The next day, a pastor friend called and said, hey, I have a building that seats 800 people. and you can use it for free anytime you want, and you guys can meet this week if you want. So that was the promise, but I thought it was this building we were working on, but no, the Lord's like, I have a better building, a bigger building ready for you. Just be patient and just persevere. And why I sometimes go like, Lord, why didn't you tell us when we were building and working and buying chairs and doing sheetrock and all of that? Like, why did you wait until it was already, but his ways are not our ways. You know what I mean? Like, and that's just one example. I could probably name a bunch more. I would say, stay faithful. God's promises are yes and amen. If God spoke it, but again, it might not be exactly the way you think it's going to be. It might not be exactly the way you think it's going to happen. And just because God gives us a promise doesn't mean there's not going to be adversity. Doesn't mean there's not going to be trials and tribulations and pitfalls. And the devil's working. We live in a fallen world. So the devil, I mean, you just got in a car accident. That's not the plan of God. God's desire is for you is not that you get in a car accident. The truth is we live in a fallen, broken world. And accidents happen, sickness happens, disease happens, death happens, despair happens. And in those moments, we don't run from the promise. We don't run from the Lord. We run closer to him and say, Lord, even in the midst of my storms, you're going to bring me peace and joy and hope, and I'm going to make it through this. And one day I'll stand praising you for the promises that you fulfilled over my life. So yeah, I'm living that still. I'm waiting on promises. And so I'm learning, okay, this is a good piece of advice for you. We have to learn to praise in front of closed doors. We have to learn to praise in the hallway, right? We all want to praise when the doors open and we're in the room going, yay, the Lord did it. The platform, you know, look at what God did with my ministry. But the Lord's like, can you worship in the hallway? Can you worship in the waiting? Can you praise in front of the closed door? And a lot of times people's faith dies, not on the operating table, but in the waiting room, right? So we give up faith before God performs the miracle. Before God performs the operation on us, before God changes our heart, changes our mind, changes our family, and we give up in the waiting room, but the Lord's like, no, just keep praying, keep trusting. There's stuff right now I'm praying for 13 years. I have family that the Lord told me the day I got saved, this person, this friend of yours is going to be saved. 13 years later, they're worse, way worse than they were day one. I'm like, Lord, what is this? You told me. They're going backwards, you know, they're working on their testimony, I like to say. They're not saved. I've been praying 13 years. Every time I pray for them. But one day, I expect to see them at the altar next to me worshiping. I expect to see them praising the Lord. And when that happens, I'm just going to thank the Lord. And when it doesn't happen, I'm still going to thank the Lord because his ways are not our ways. So I hope that encourages you a little bit. But yes, definitely, stuff sometimes doesn't go the way we think it should go.
Yeah, I mean, that really helps. And yeah, I just want to say, like, you've been a huge blessing to me. Like, yesterday, my friends came to visit me and we're literally like talking about, you know, your streams and stuff. Especially like awesome. When you talked about like healing and not being healed yourself, and then the chiropractor finally worked. Cause I experienced that in my life where I pray for people and they get healed, but there's something I've been looking for healing for and haven't really received it, at least the way I thought. So, yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely. And can we pray for you real fast? What is going on in your body that you need healing for? Cause I know you just got in a car accident. So what happened with that?
So like my ankle, I got broken bones in my ankle and I also had an open fracture. Okay. So I had surgery, and they fixed like the biomyalgia, I think, like two sides of the ankle. Okay. And then they also like closed up the open fracture. So I'm going to have to like use crutches and be in a cast for like, or a stint for like maybe a few weeks. And then hopefully I should be able to regain full functionality and stuff.
Okay. Well, let us pray for you today.
Yeah.
Say it again. You also have what? Sorry.
And then I also have like a pain in my brain.
In your brain, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's pray. Chat. Come on. Let's all pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. I thank you for my sister, Dee Dee. I just pray, Lord, the healing power of God would just touch her right now from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Father, we just pray that you would heal her right now, that all sickness, all disease, all pain would leave her now in Jesus' name, that you would just bring wholeness, health, and just strength and energy back to her. Father, I thank you that your promises are yes and amen. I thank you that everything you've spoken, God, that you are not a man that you lie, and that your promises will come to pass in Jesus' name over her life. Father, we just bless her. We bless her destiny. We bless the vision you've given her. And we just pray, God, complete wholeness in her brain, in her ankle, that God, you would just completely speed up this recovery, heal her body, and do a miraculous work. God, we know that you are a miracle working God, and you're going to have the last word in this. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, sister, for calling in, and I look forward to hearing from you again.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. God bless.
God bless.
All right. It looks like I have two more here in the waiting room that are calling on the phone. So let's take these calls here. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
Hey, Isaiah. This is Nick, and I'm calling in from Atlanta.
How are you, Nick?
Good, man. Good. Just stoked to be on the line.
Awesome. Well, dude, I'm glad that you got through. What's going on today?
So I have too many questions for you, but I'll start with the one that's most pressing. And so we got called into the Ministry of Deliverance, actually, through one of your videos.
Lord awesome. Spoke
to me, just, yeah, just a wild, wild story. But our first prayer that we accidentally started, we didn't know how to do deliverance. So we're praying for someone, and they started manifesting, and it went from super calm to World War III, and we'll end up praying through the night, and it was super intense.
Wow.
And the conclusion, it's a long story, but the conclusion of that story, like, we were throwing out things that were connected to idolatry in our house, even being Christians. We burned it. God gave us a miraculous testimony of not even smelling like smoke after having this big bonfire. And we're like, yay, everything's done. You know, she's delivered. She's set free. We actually had to call in reinforcements at 3 a.m. It was just a big thing. But then later on, she just felt like not everything was done. And she started manifesting again, probably 4 months later. And the manifestations were like pretty intense, like delivering on the ground. I've never been mocked more in my life. I mean, 6-7 hours of spirits mocking us, but she's set free. She's repented. She's gone through forgiveness. The only like thing catch is that she wasn't baptized. She was baptized as like a 6 or 7 year old. And so we rebaptized her, but I'm just like curious, have you had encounters where you prayed for someone? Probably we prayed for her 6 times. Like it was, again, each story is wild. Prayed for her 6 times, but there still feels to be like something still there and having legal right. And there is Freemasonry in her family lineage, but still it feels like it's really intense. And now we've prayed for around 25 plus people, and we haven't had anything close to that. And that was our first one. So just curious your thoughts on like,
wow,
what obvious things am I not looking for? And two, I'm like, what's your encouragement on that? Because we have a team of probably about 5 or 6 of us that are praying for people on the regular. And we're just super, this one's like really difficult. And we just like been kind of asking the Lord what to do. But any insight or advice, and I could provide some more context if needed. But
yeah, and that's
a million-dollar question.
You know, most pastors will say, oh, deliverance. And I'm going to make, the voice that they would say it in. Oh, deliverance is only supposed to last for 5 minutes, brother. It's never supposed to go long, which of course is completely false. And you know that because you do deliverance. And if you do deliverance, you know that these things, like I was going to do deliverance last week and I sat with the person for 3 hours and talked with them and we didn't even do deliverance.
Yep.
We said, okay, let's come back in like a week. Because there's some stuff that needs to get worked out. And that was after 3 hours of just talking, no deliverance.
Yeah.
So these things, first of all, I praise the Lord that you're even spending the time and energy and effort, because it's not in vain. You're building rewards in heaven and treasure in heaven. You're not gaining anything here on this earth in a sense, but you will gain reward in eternity. And God is proud of you and your team. It's amazing because there's not enough people like you doing it. We need a million more plus people like you. So I commend you. And I'm so grateful that you'll fight through with somebody and pray, because most people won't. They'll give up in like an hour. I'm tired. I'm hungry. Let's go to lunch. But you pray through and you're fighting with this person. That's not easy. With that all being said, it definitely depends on, from my understanding, again, I don't know everything. I say that all the time, is the strength of the demons, what the person was involved with, what type of ancestral spirits they were involved with. And then it also depends on the person. Some people, for whatever reason, demons have an easier time latching onto based on their personality, based on how their desire to be set free. Like I do deliverance with some people and it just feels so easy. I've done deliverance on people, let me say it this way, that have a crazy background and the deliverance is so quick and so easy. Like, you just know the person wants to be free, and they're going to participate. They're going to do whatever they need to do. Then there's other people that don't even have a crazy background, and it's hours. And it's like, sometimes I just go, okay, this has to do with their human psyche, their human personality, their own human desires. They're not working with us. They're hard to pray for. They're kind of like spaced out. They're not really involved. So that has a part to play. And it's likely, I don't know this person, but it's likely they probably have a more harder to work with personality, and maybe a more, and I'm saying this with respect, like a more needy personality. We used to say like they're EGR, they're extra grace required, because some people are just, they just need extra attention and extra time. So it might be that way. And then again, demons are stubborn, right? They're trying to withstand us. I wouldn't ever think it's your fault. Like, I wouldn't put the blame on you if it's taking so long. I would just say, hey, there's a mixture of, it could be a very strong demon. I mean, it could be a principality. It could be a mixture of the person not willing to cooperate. Could be elements of hidden sin or strongholds or legal rights that the demon has is hanging on to. What I would probably do, say I'm stuck in a deliverance, which happens, right? Like, I think you guys probably think, oh, in 10 minutes, Isaiah finishes deliverance. No, I'm just the same as you guys. I have the same authority you all have. I have the same anointing you all have. I would probably stick on one of the demons and then really pressure it and make it tell me it's legal, right? Like, why are you not leaving? And then really press that issue of like, why is this thing not leaving? Is it unforgiveness? Yeah. Is it something they haven't renounced? Is it just stubborn? Sometimes, honestly, like, I've had demons where they have no legal right. There's no unforgiveness. And I'm like, do you have a legal right? And they just say, no. I'm like, okay, why aren't you leaving? And it's just like, I don't want to. And it'll start crying, right? And then at that point, I'm just going to keep applying pressure. Like, you have no choice. This person is not your home. Your authority has been canceled. Your legal rights have been canceled. Your assignment is over. You've failed your assignment. And sometimes even telling a demon you've failed your assignment, it helps, because some demons will say, like, I have to fulfill this assignment. I'm going to get in trouble. And I don't know what they mean by that. The higher ranking demon somehow has the ability to punish him. I have no clue. I just know demons know that they're going to be in trouble for not fulfilling their assignment. And sometimes just telling them you failed and you just need to go, it actually helps sometimes. And they'll just leave right away. Yeah. So some of these tactics and strategies help, but sometimes it's just, our wrestle is not against flesh and blood. We're wrestling, and it takes energy and time. Now, okay, so I have a lot I could say. I mean, I have hour-long videos on stubborn demons, so I'm trying not to go too long here. Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
If it's the same person over and over for hours and hours, I would say this. I would say, look, I really love you. I'm trying to fight through with you. I want to see you free, but we need to take a few weeks off, right? We need to take a month off. I need you to do some prayer and fasting on your own. Okay, do not come back for more deliverance. I need you to try to do a 3-day fast, and I want you to pray, and I want you to call out to God, seek the Lord, and see why this thing isn't breaking in your life. Because I just can't keep meeting with you for hours and hours. It's draining me. It's draining my team. We have all of these people we need to work with, and there's something not clicking here. So let's take a month off. Maybe find a different deliverance team. Maybe they have a revelation we don't have. And I've told people that. I'll literally tell people, hey, I want you to connect with my other team here, because maybe I'm missing something. Maybe it's another person praying you through that might help. And let's take a month and see how you feel in a month from now. So that could be something to think about. I wouldn't recommend, and I know you love the person you want to fight through, I just personally don't recommend deliverance teams spending like 4 or 5 sessions with the same person. Meanwhile, there's all these people waiting for help, and it's like the same person we're dealing with over and over again. Sometimes it's best to say, hey, let's take a week off or 2 weeks off or a month off, and then fast and pray and see what happens, because like, you're getting drained, right? You're getting drained. Your team's getting drained. It's like, oh, this person again. So that's just some practical advice for you. I wish I had just like, this is what it is. This is what you need to do. But as you know, deliverance often is a puzzle, and we're learning and we're trying to figure out why these things are, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. I think it's just, it's frustrating, because I didn't probably include you in this. It is family. There's a connection there. So it's like, I'm like, God told me, like, if you don't pray for people like it's family, like, why do it? Like, don't do that. So he really impressed that with this prayer. But like in our prayer sessions, Isaiah, like, I try to get these things to talk, and they're just a little stubborn, and they just like to shake yes and no, and give me a one and a two and their fingers. I'm just like, can we just cut the chase and speak? But
yeah,
I'm like, I don't know if that's maybe that's a current anointing that we have as a team that like, hey, they're just not speaking. Like, that's okay. But do you, you know, I guess, yeah, you've seen the gamut of that, but is there anything like that you would encourage me to press into? I mean, we only prayed for probably, you know, 30 people total again.
Yeah. I think you're doing great.
They're just not speaking for us, you know?
Yeah. I think you're doing great. It's sometimes that's just the way it is. They're not going to talk. They're not going to manifest themselves, but we just continue to pray by faith. We continue to put pressure on them and by faith believe that they're leaving, you know, and keep fighting and learning. But I've had, and the hard part is if you have like multiple deliverances in a row that, and again, all those people that do deliverance know what I'm talking about. If you don't do deliverance, probably what I'm saying doesn't make sense. But you have a few deliverances in a row that just don't go good. They just don't go the way you want. Nothing kind of happens. It kind of falls flat. And it's hard because you get discouraged. You're like, oh, am I doing something wrong? But then you might have three or four that are amazing. And then you go, oh, it's actually not me. Because I realize it's not about me. It's not what I've done. It's not my authority. It's actually about what Christ has done. And all I'm doing is coming as his representative, his ambassador, and taking authority over them. But I really would challenge you and everybody watching that does deliverance is to take the pressure off yourself and realize it's not about you. And I know you know this, but I'm just helping encourage you and just go, okay, Lord, I'm just doing what you've told me to do. I'm just staying faithful. And like, I know people that say, I prayed for 100 people to get healed and no one got healed until 101, but I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep believing. So I wouldn't be discouraged. Yeah. I know it gets frustrating. I had one girl, I want to say I prayed for her for 3 or 4 hours. And it was the same thing you're saying. It was just nodding. It was her opening her mouth and yawning over and over. It was her putting fingers up at me, just doing all these weird things. But she wouldn't talk, right? And I'm like, and even the girl that I was praying with, she wasn't working with me. I'm like, hey, do you feel anything? I don't know. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know? Do you not feel? Do you hear? Yeah. Like, you got to work with me here. I'm trying to, you know, it's like, help me out. But she was just very just, you know, giving a lot of power to the demons. Well, they're so strong. They've been here so long. I'm like, don't say that. They're not so strong. It doesn't matter how long they've been there. So she was really buying into that and empowering them with her attitude. And after a few hours, I just said, hey, look, I can't keep doing this with you. I'm praying with you. You can definitely be part of our community, but you're going to have to meet up with somebody else because there's just a wall up, you know, there's a wall up. So I know how frustrating it can get, but just keep pressing. You're on the right track. You're doing the right thing. We're all continuing to learn. I'm learning still all the time. And just don't be discouraged. You know, take heart. I think what you guys are doing amazing. And I think people are getting set free. Maybe you don't see it exactly the way you think or like our videos. And that's the problem with our videos is we only post the highlights. We only post the dramatic deliverances, but you guys don't see 9 times out of 10, it's hours of grinding and mundane and believing. And like those don't get posted. Those 3 hour deliverances where I talked with this guy last week for 3 hours, I didn't post that. No one's going to post that. It's just a lot of these things we're just grinding out, and I don't ever want it to be a false representation of how it really is. Cause as you know, a lot of times it's lot of work. Yeah. It's a lot of work. So thank you for calling, bro. I'm sorry. I wish I had a better answer of like, this is what it is, but I hope you're encouraged.
Can I ask you one more question?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So one, permission to just tweak your intake form because it's been super helpful in our deliverances. But we're about to implement prayer at a nonprofit here in Atlanta that has people that are coming out of really traumatic situations. And we just had an encounter where, like, you're talking about the worst of the worst. Like, I've been there. I've done that. I've been in jail for X amount of years, done X amount of things. And I'm already mentally gearing up, like, if there's anything in this person that's got a spirit of murder or rage, I'm target number one if I go into this ill-prepared. Have you had experience integrating deliverance prayer, or do you know people that have integrated it into an environment where there are people that are, they're saved, they believe in Jesus, but they're coming from more traumatic backgrounds? I'm just, it's different than I think praying with our friends. Like it's again, it's the same principle, but it's an extra level of trauma that your average person might not be going through. So I'm just curious if you approve me taking your deliverance form and tweaking it, and then two,
you could edit it, change it, delete half of it, use one page. You can do whatever you want with it. It was from a friend years ago. And, you know, it's not even a lot of times that deliverance form, we would use it for, hey, it gives us information so we don't have to sit and ask you 4 hours of questions, right? So we kind of know where you're coming from. But also, one of the things it does is people that are not serious. Okay, so somebody comes to you and says, I want to be delivered. And you go, okay, fill out this form and then bring it in and we'll pray for you. A lot of people that aren't serious about deliverance will not fill out the form. So I already know, listen, if you're not willing to sit down for 30 minutes and fill this form out, you're not desperate enough for me to even pray for you. You're not ready. So that will actually weed out a lot of people from whether they're serious or not, especially when you have like, you're at a church and there's hundreds of people at your home church wanting to be delivered. And you want to pray for those that are very serious that really want to get free. So it does weed out people. But at the end of the day, it's nothing, it's no formula. It's no, you can edit it, change it. We had a like person we knew that knew somebody many years ago that somebody during their deliverance had like a, I don't know if it was a heart attack, a seizure, something medical happened. So he made the form like, hey, this is also to give up legal. Like he ended up in court because the person tried suing him because they had like a seizure or something during the deliverance. So he went on and said, hey, we need like some type of legal form in case I ever end up in court with somebody saying, hey, I had a seizure during the deliverance or whatever happened. At least it gives up that legal liability. So that's really where that form originated from. And then it came into like, well, it saves us time. But again, the form is not 100% required and feel free to edit it however you want. I just have it on the website as a resource that people can use, but it's definitely totally fine to edit it, change it, repost it, do whatever you want with it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks so much for calling in, man.
Yeah, no problem. But did you have any thoughts on that part two of that question?
The trauma, I would just say don't take them back to their trauma. I mean, yeah. I don't know exactly what you're looking for when it comes to that question, but when I deal with people that have heavy trauma in deliverance, I just don't take them back and don't say, hey, let's go back to that time where you were, hey, let's call up that same person, that little kid that got, no, I don't do any of that. We're not taking you back. We're taking you forward. We're commanding that spirit that came in through trauma to come out now in Jesus' name. You have no power. You have no authority. I personally, some people will try to say like, let's go back to that. And you know, how did you feel and how... I don't do that. I don't see that in the Bible. And for me, it's not healthy.
Yeah, no problem. I was just curious, yeah, how you've worked with people that came from a more traumatic background, but no, that's totally good. I feel.
Yeah. I approach it the same way as anybody.
To make it happen. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
All right. God bless, well, man. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, man.
All right. God bless. Okay, guys, there's one last person waiting in the waiting room, and that's perfect timing because it's 1:02 and we have our prayer call for all the monthly partners at 1:30 p.m. If you're not a monthly partner, you can become one on our website or on our YouTube members. We survive based on your guys' support because our content's free. So we don't like have e-courses that we could charge or anything to provide for the ministry. So the way we keep doing this is by your guys' monthly support and your guys' giving on these streams. So yeah, you can do that on the website or link in the description. Or join YouTube members, but it's best on my website. And then at 1:30 p.m., we all get together and pray. If you join right now or today, you'll get an email from me right after the stream, and you'll be able to join that call. It's great. It's a great time, and it's just refreshing, and spirit. It's like we flow in the spirit. It's just amazing. But let's take this last caller. I'll hang out in the chat for a few minutes, and then we're jumping right into our prayer call. So here we go. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
Hi, Isaiah. My name is Jessica. I'm calling from Houston, Texas.
How are you, Jessica?
I'm great. How are you, Isaiah?
Good. And what's going on today?
Good. I am so excited that I got through because I've been excited to talk to you. I actually talked to you last Thursday about my dad who passed away in 2020 in a coma, didn't know the Lord.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember the conversation.
I remember.
Okay. Real quick, I just want to tell you fast before my question. That night after our conversation, I was talking with the Lord before bed. And when I got on Facebook scrolling randomly, three scriptures came to me. And I know he can speak to us in all kind of ways. And the three scriptures he gave me, Matthew 43:18-19. And then the final thing he showed me that just solidified it for me was that it said, God is patient in giving us second chances.
Wow.
And when I read that, I bawled because I'm like, okay, Lord, I hear you. And I've had such a peace about what we talked about since then. And it just really gave me a peace that only, you know, the Lord can give you about certain things. It was just awesome.
Wow,
so
that's amazing.
I was excited to tell you that. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. It's powerful.
Yeah, thank you for letting me say that. So my question, really quick, it might be kind of a hard one for you, but do you believe, or do you have scripture that can confirm this? And I'm asking on behalf of somebody else who had the question. If a believer unalives themselves, I don't want to get, you know, say the wrong thing and have your thing flagged. Do you think that they go to heaven if they had like a severe depression or a mental illness like they were battling? Do you think that they go to heaven if they are successful and they do not come back to have a chance to repent for what they did or what they've done? Do you think that they go to heaven if they unalive themselves and they are a believer and a follower of Jesus?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. I've had pastor friends that have taken their life. I've had friends that have taken their life. It's extremely traumatic. It's like one of the worst things you could ever go through, having somebody that you know right. go through that, or a family member. I grew up, just to be transparent and frank, and no matter what I say, it's going to make people mad. So I'm just going to say what I want to say. I grew up getting taught uh-huh. that if you take your life, no matter what, you go to hell. It's just you go to hell no matter what. I grew up getting taught that growing up in church. Since I probably would lean on, we don't know. We don't have an exact scripture. I just think this. Okay, here's where I'm at with it. If you're a normal person, let's forget about like the drug. You're on drugs. You're high, or you're under the influence, or you have mental illness. I just think this. If you're a normal person and you take your life and you stand on judgment day, there's only two things you can hear on judgment day. Okay, according to scripture. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You know, you depart from me, I never knew you. Or well done, good and faithful servant. So for me, I just have a hard time believing that you can take your life. Now, again, we're not talking about mental illness, under the influence. Maybe you were drunk. Maybe you had a moment of weakness. That's a separate case. Let's just talk about right over here. This is a person where you're in your right mind and you take your life, okay? I personally believe right. that person in their right mind that is a Christian that takes their life, I personally believe they probably go to hell, because I can't imagine God saying, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your master's rest, when that person murdered themselves, right? They killed themselves. They took their own life. The Bible clearly right. says, don't murder. The Bible, you know, it's murder, mm-hmm. self-murder. You're taking your life. You're cutting your life short. I just can't see them entering in the gates of heaven and the Lord saying like, well done, you finished the race, when they took their life prematurely. Yeah. Now, the other case, so that's case one. I personally would say for the most part, that person goes to hell. Case two, like you're saying, there's mental illness. Maybe they were under the influence of something. Maybe they had a moment of weakness. Maybe they were on a prescription pill, which causes suicidal thoughts for a lot of people. And under that prescription uh-huh. pill, they had a back surgery. And under that pill, there's this voice, there's this overwhelming desire to take their life. And they make a crazy, terrible, irreversible decision to take their life. Is there grace? Probably, but I don't know. But I know God is a patient God. He's merciful. He's understanding. His ways are not our ways. So I think in that situation, there's a possibility they go to heaven. But at the end of the day, we don't have a verse that says either or. At the end of the day, we'll never know. We can't be the ones. I'm not the judge of anyone's salvation. Only the Lord knows. Mm-hmm. God is the ultimate judge. And I just leave it in his hands and say, I don't know. But I err on the side of, and when I teach people like, hey, if you take your life, there's a good chance you're going to hell. So like I err on that side, because that's really, mm-hmm. I think we need to have the fear of the Lord. I wouldn't get up and say, you right. know, yeah, you can take your life and we don't know. I would err on the side of like, for the most part, I think if you commit suicide, you're going to end up going to hell, and I wouldn't risk it. If there's like a 1% chance, I still wouldn't risk it. But I think there are special circumstances. And the Bible says we're going to be surprised in who's in heaven. The people we thought are going to heaven yeah. won't be there, and the people we thought weren't going to be there are going to be there. That's like literally what the Bible says. And right. So I don't know. I just think it's case by case. And I think God judges people based on how they lived and based on whether they're a believer, of course, and all of that. So I don't know. I can't give you a straight answer on that. So that's kind of okay. where I stand on it. I think it just, each situation is yeah. different.
Okay. Let's see it similarly on what we think. I believe the same thing. That yeah, but there's no real way of knowing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a great question. Thank you once again for calling in and also for updating us on those scriptures God showed you. That's amazing. And I don't know if you realize, on Monday, my guest was actually in a coma, and he talked about how he had an experience in a coma. So I thought about your, about your dad.
I watched that.
Yeah, I thought about your dad. I'm like, oh, look, God could definitely meet with people in a coma and stuff like that.
Yeah, and his testimony was mind-blowing. I listened to the whole thing without ever jumping off. It was awesome. And his, yeah, it was very much spot on for, like, what my call was about. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, Isaiah. Have a good day.
All right, God bless you. Take care. Yeah, that question will be argued about and asked for, I don't know, the next thousands of years unless the Lord tarries, I don't know. But there's going to be never a, this is what it is. I used to be very black and white on it. I am generally still. My general sentiment is like, hey, if you take your life, you've murdered and you didn't have time to repent after. But again, I don't know. I don't know all the circumstances, the way God judges people. So I can't say absolutely this is how it is. Okay, guys, if you enjoyed the broadcast, pray about sowing and partnering with us. We are basically survive stream from stream to stream. We're viewer supported, meaning our support comes from the viewers, comes from, we're crowdfunded. So we will be live again. Actually, well, we'll see. But we're going to most likely be live again in the next few days, spontaneously on our cell phone, because as you guys know, well, maybe don't know. But I kind of announced it earlier, and I just keep forgetting we're live, so you probably weren't here in the very beginning. But YouTube basically told all creators, if you go live from your cell phone, we will promote your stream in the live tab, in the shorts tab, and you'll get more viewers. So that's why if you guys see me going live, you're like, why are you not just using your nice camera in studio? You're just going live from your phone. It's because of that. The point of us going live is to reach people. Like, we're trying to reach people with the gospel, so we're going to do whatever we have to do. So just know the next few days, we will be going live from our phone, and we'll randomly on Mondays and Tuesdays sometimes be in our studio here, sometimes be on our phone here. We'll see. But we're going to do whatever we have to do to reach people, and we have to keep adapting. We can't just get stuck on one method, one type of content. I have other content I'm working on behind the scenes, and I'm learning right now on like cinematography and color grading and film theory. I'm learning all this stuff behind the scenes because I'm a nerd and I'm interested. So I was shooting like 3 hours yesterday videos, and I'm editing, learning how to edit really good and color grade. I'm not doing my stuff necessarily, but I'm doing stuff for other people for free just to practice and learn because I'm a nerd. But I have some exciting videos coming that'll be really cool that I look forward to sharing with you guys. But just know we're working on new content. We're doing stuff behind the scenes. I'm staying encouraged. I'm encouraging myself in the Lord. We've done 2,000 videos now, so it gets to the point where I'm like, sometimes I feel uninspired. Sometimes I feel like, I don't really know, you know, what I want to do and what content I want to put out. And should I keep doing these videos? And like, I'm trying to adapt and change and move around. So I want to stay inspired and encouraged. And some of the stuff with the phone streams and the new type of content you're going to start seeing on the channel is going to help with that. Of course, we'll never stray away from doing our teachings, our preachings, our podcasts, our equipping. Everything else will be extra. But yeah, it's good. Okay, so in 15 minutes, we're going to be live on Zoom. If you want a monthly partner, you want to give to the stream, you can. All the links to give are on screen. You can do that right now. And then if you monthly partner right now on the website for any amount, you'll get a link to that prayer call. If you are a monthly partner already, please join the prayer call. If you're a YouTube member, go to the community tab, get the link. It's the same link every single week for good. So please join the prayer call. We take the time out of our week to do these along with all of our streams, all of our stuff we have going. You guys know we're really busy. So please join. I would really appreciate that. I would love to see you guys on the prayer call. It's been a great time. Jared's been joining us every week, and it's just been great having him as well. So please join that. Helps us out a lot. I'll see you guys over there in 15 minutes. I'm going to get something to drink really quick, stretch my feet, and then, well, my feet, my legs. I guess, well, should I stretch my feet? Hold on. Yeah, I just stretch my feet right now. I'm going to stretch my legs and then jump back on, and we'll be on the prayer call. My favorite preacher, thank you so much, Tanya. More verse by verse. We're planning to, Lisa. We haven't done that in a while, but we're planning to get back in the verse by verse. I'm trying to figure out what book we're going to do because we just finished John recently. Well, recently as in months ago. But we're going to, guys, here's the thing, guys. Let me tell you why my train of thought, I'm kind of like that already. My train of thought's all over the place. It's kind of how I am. Whatever. It is what it is. If you don't like it, go watch somewhere else. But I'm reading the chat. So I'm always reading the chat. I don't like when people are live and don't read the chat. So just so you know, I'm reading the chat. Like right now, someone said, bring out the bird. So we're going to. Okay, here we go. There's the bird. I'm reading the chat. Plus, I have notes. Well, I don't have notes up right now, but I'll have like notes. And I'm also trying to talk. So as I'm reading your chat and trying to talk, my tongue's getting twisted. I'm losing my train of thought because I want to answer you guys. And I'm reading you guys say stuff. So that's sometimes why I say stuff like, I'm going to stretch my feet. Because I'm just, you know, my brain, it's all over the place. It's all over the place. It's working a lot in different directions. Always enjoy the broadcast and transparency. Thank you, Shelly. Go stretch and drink water. I'm going to. Okay, bring out the freestyle. You know what? I did film like 13 or 14 shorts for my cousin Z yesterday, and I'm editing them right now. So, hey, I got that hip-hop in my brain right now. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. I will see you live this weekend randomly on my phone, and then I'll be live Monday, and then I'll be live Tuesday, and then I'll be live Thursday, and then we'll be uploading videos and all that good stuff. So, thank you. Love you guys. Thanks for the support. Thanks for partnering. Again, if you monthly partner right now, I will send you that email in 2 minutes when I get off here. Okay? See you guys soon. Love you guys. Appreciate you. Where do you monthly partner, Jason? If you monthly partner, you should have the link to it in your email. But Jason, if anything, email me right now from the email I sent you the moment you partnered. If you're on YouTube and you're a monthly member, go to the community tab and all the info's there, or go to your perks tab. The info's on both of those. Oh, the mod hiring? Yeah, we're going to do that. We'll do that on Monday probably. Okay, because I'm in a hurry because it's 1:17 and I have to go on the Zoom call in 10 minutes. So we're not going to do that right now. But yeah, join YouTube and there, okay? My wife said I've been vacuuming. I've been hearing you vacuum. Good job, Alyssa. Love you guys. Okay, I'll see you guys in a couple minutes. Bye. See you guys in a minute. Jump in the call. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content, and please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.